1210 WGN Radio. By the way, lots of texts about the last conversation we had on the John Williams Show here on WGN Radio with State Representative Bob Morgan. He's the author of that legislation to ban assault weapons in the state of Illinois. Just one text among many. John, I'm very much a liberal and would love to get rid of these types of guns, but is the sheriff's refusal to enforce the law any different than what Chicago politicians do when it comes to us being a sanctuary city? It does sound that way. It does feel a little that way on paper. Different issues, different consequences, but many of you have pointed that out. And this was pointed out by Shia Kapos' playbook. There was a moment of hilarity at the annual Economic Outlook Forum held by the Executives Club this week. Moderator Terry Savage asked panelists her annual question, what would you do with $100,000? It's funny because whenever somebody asks that, hey, Terry, I got $100,000. If I say, Terry, what should I do with $100,000? She goes, well, I can't answer that. It depends on your circumstances and what your life is and all those details. But here she throws it at the panel. Bob Frelich, formerly of Deutsche Asset Management, quipped, I would give it to John. But he wasn't referring to me, John Williams. He was referring to John Rogers Jr., the chairman of Ariel Investments, who accurately predicted last year that there would be a sharp rise in inflation and a dramatic drop in cryptocurrency. This year's outlook by Rogers, Frelich, and KPMG economist Diane Swonk, boy, that's a power-packed panel, was optimistic, with Rogers and Frelich predicting no recession and Swonk seeing a mild recession. All right, let's now get rolling on the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. What do you say about that, Bob? What do you think about that prediction? Or rather, John. John Beaver is with us, the financial advisor at Phase 3 Advisory Services. What do you make of those predictions there, John?
Well, what I make of those predictions is something I heard this morning called a slow session, and that's where my camp is. That's the camp I'm in. So a modest recession, maybe a rolling recession between industries that might not even register a negative read on GDP for a quarter, but definitely a slowing of the economy. And that should give us a good buying opportunity in the market. The market seems to be waiting for this recession to really get a good buy opportunity in it right now. We're actually bumping right up against a downtrend. We're still in the downtrend, and we're knocking on that line right there. So I have a feeling we're going to fail off of this line into next week, but we'll see. Can't predict the future with much accuracy, but I'm expecting a slow session.
You're saying that stocks are actually going to go down a little bit more before they go back up?
I think so. Now, we could break through this trend line and maybe hit 4,000 on the S&P 500, which is just a few points away, maybe 4,100. But the market really seems to be range-bound, and there's some reason for this. The market is driven by two things. It's driven by earnings and then the multiple on that earnings, and that multiple is really driven by interest rates. So a multiple is nothing more than how many times earnings we're going to pay for a company. So if you think about it, if the company's earnings are growing, then we would expect the stock to be going up in price. If earnings are dropping, we would expect the price to come down. But then we also have to take a look at where interest rates are at. So if interest rates are low, like they were 18 months ago, 1% on the 10-year Treasury bond, then stock investors don't demand as much return on their stocks. So they're willing to pay more because they're looking for less return in the future. However, as interest rates go up, those investors are looking for more return on their stocks, and so they're willing to pay less, and that's the environment that we're in right now.
Well, if we tame inflation, and that's what this is all about, right, this first quarter?
It is the goal of the Federal Reserve is to tame inflation, and they've told us 1 month's worth of reading isn't going to do it. They're going to look for at least 3 months of the readings where they want them to be, so they're not done raising interest rates yet.
And where are we right now? What's the inflation rate right now?
So inflation actually just came out this week really good. We actually dropped 0.1% last month, December. So we're at 6.5% year over year at this point in time, which is a good place to be. That's moving in the right direction. We hope it continues to move in the right direction at this point in time. We might have a situation, though, similar to World War II, post-World War II, where we actually had 9% inflation a couple years later, followed by 2% deflation a couple years later, followed by 6% inflation, followed by another negative reading of minus 1%. So we may be bouncing back and forth. The Fed may get us down to 2. We may even go down to 1. We even may have a little reading of 0. Then it may bounce back up again. It may take 3, 4, 5 years to get this really under control.
I want to talk to you about banks. I want to talk to you about Tesla and some more of these numbers in just a minute. Stay right there as we go into the WGN Radio Newsroom. Bob Kessler, how are the markets? You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. We're talking about the markets with John Beaver, the president of Phase 3 Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm and registered principal with Royal Alliance Associates. Why are you thinking about Tesla today, John? What's up with that?
Well, we have an analyst that got some moxie and bucked the trend of the other analysts, and they put a sell rating on Tesla with a target of $89 a share. So usually these analysts kind of move in a pack, move together, and so they're the first one to come out and put this sell rating on Tesla, which actually may mean we're getting close to a buying opportunity in Tesla, but it's really hard to tell. As a car company, they're tremendously overvalued, but again, people don't buy Tesla because it's a car company. They buy it because of the creativity of Elon Musk.
Oh, really? You think that? I mean, I'm not surprised to hear that, but I'm also a little surprised to hear that because Elon is very controversial, a less popular figure these days. You think people continue to buy Teslas because of his name or because they're really cool electric cars?
Well, when it comes to the car, that's a different issue. But in terms of the stock, they're buying the stock because of his creativity and what might happen. Because, again, as a car company, they're going to experience more competition. We've got some better cars that are coming out from other companies. Better than Tesla or not, that's open to interpretation, but at least an improvement over what's been out there by other companies. So we're going to see a lot more players coming to the market with cars that are going to be something that consumers want to purchase, and Tesla's experiencing more competition.
Do you think that his venture into Twitter is actually hurting his stock price?
I think there is some of that effect there, most definitely, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about consumers and banks. You start. I've got a couple of questions for you. But in general, the turn of the year now, what do you expect is going to be happening at our local banks?
So we had a lot of bank reports today. Now, these are the big money center banks coming out with their earnings. And while they were generally pretty good reports, they're expressing some concern about this year, which is no surprise. And yet the consumer still seems to be fairly solid. So it's that concern about what might happen this year. And it's really because of the inverted yield curve. An inverted yield curve indicates that we're likely to have a recession. And it's really most inverted that we've seen since 1982. But this is also going to be good for the banks. Why is that? Because we need to get to a normal interest rate environment, which the banks haven't had for at least 15 years. And in a normal interest rate environment, the banks can actually make money, they can have earnings, and they can make a decent investment for investors, especially those looking for yield, looking for dividends. But in order to get there, the Federal Reserve has had to raise interest rates on the short end. This has inverted the yield curve. So we need to get through this recession or slow session, whatever that's going to be. And there will be an environment that should be pretty positive for banks. So actually, I like the idea of buying financials at this point in time, and I would throw real estate in there too.
What should I expect from a return at a bank these days?
Well, today you can get CDs in the 4% range. And will that hold? Probably not. We'll probably see those short-term interest rates come back down maybe within a year or two, but no time soon because, again, the Federal Reserve has said they've got their foot on the brake. They're going to keep their foot on the brake until they see inflation at 2% and they see higher unemployment. They really want to see that wage pressure released.
The Fed is, you said to Producer Pete, a little cryptic these days and silent about the balance sheet. What are you talking about there?
Yeah, so they're very clear on interest rates and where they're going with this. They made it exceptionally clear, so we can't miss that message. But meanwhile, what they're not saying is important. They're not talking about the balance sheet. And what's happening is they're having some of the bonds roll off their balance sheet. So how do we explain this? Well, the Fed, in essence, is a purchaser of some treasury bonds. And when they purchase those bonds, they're really a lender. So they're a lender to those people of they're a lender of not quite last resort, but they're a lender to the Treasury Treasury Department. So what they're doing is they're buying these bonds, and that increases their balance sheet, which sounds like that should be a good thing. But it's really hard to say whether that's a good thing or not, because where does that money come from? It comes from the Treasury Department. The Treasury Department gives them the money to go buy these Treasury bonds. So we want to see that balance sheet come down. But in order for that balance sheet come down, the government actually has to make good on the loans, these debts, these bonds, and they have to pay those bonds off. So by natural maturity of these bonds roll off the Fed's balance sheet, then the government comes up with the money to pay them off. Okay, but at some point in time, it creates a liquidity problem in the Treasury market, and the thinking is that's going to happen sometime, perhaps this summer. Let's take a step back. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what does that mean? So then what happens?
Yeah, so then what happens is we can have some disruptions in the interest rate market and not knowing where interest rates are going to go, and the Federal Reserve may probably have to slow down the balance sheet roll-off and come back and purchase some more bonds. Think of it this way. Let's change the direction of this. You got some credit cards. You're charging every month. You pay a little bit less than what you charge, so your balance is growing. You tap out one credit card, you go take another one, and you continue this process. Okay. Well, one of the lenders, one of the credit card companies, is in essence the Federal Reserve. They're making some of this money available. They're buying these bonds, and they're giving the federal government some money. So now they're rolling these bonds off. The federal government has to give money back to the Federal Reserve. They're reducing that balance sheet, and what they're doing is they're paying off their debt. But the government doesn't have enough money to pay off the debt because their credit card balance continues to grow every month. So what this does, it disrupts the bond market, is the bottom line of that. And yeah, it's a bit complicated for the average person. What this would do would likely create some disruption in the interest rate market. So we could see some volatility in interest rates when we hit the summer is the bottom line of that.
How would you answer Terry Savage's question at that forum the other day where she asked Diane Swank and others, Bob Frelich, what would you do with $100,000? Assuming that, let's assume, because Terry would do this, make sure you've paid off your credit card balance, your high interest debt. But if you had $100,000 to invest right now, what would you say?
So today I would be middle of the road. I wouldn't be pedal to the metal saying put all the money in stocks, and I wouldn't be totally conservative. I'd put about half the money in a nice medium-term bond portfolio, and I would put the other half in more conservative stocks or the area where we feel there's opportunity, energy, financials, real estate, maybe healthcare, and industrials. And I would wait for that buying opportunity, assuming we're going to get that with the start of a recession, and then deploy the rest of the money at that point in time.
But with a modest recession expected, maybe that buying opportunity is not going to be so rich.
Exactly right. We don't know. In fact, with everybody almost calling for a recession at this point in time, maybe we actually don't get one, and maybe the market doesn't drop that far. But we certainly are at the rich end of the range right now, so I would expect the market to pull back sometime in the next 3 to 4 months.
John, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for your thoughts and wisdom. Join us again soon, okay?
I will. Thanks.
John Beaver, president of Phase 3 Advisory Services, WGN Radio News is next.